Do you want to know the one simple trick on how to shave an hour of wasted time off your workday every day? As a lead pastor, you need to get lots of stuff done. You need to set the tone for your pastoral staff to follow, and you need to outwork everyone in the room, right? That's why today we're going to show you how procrastinating on purpose is the key to your productivity. And we're going to show you how to procrastinate like a champ so that you can make every day your most productive day ever. So let's get started. So the big question is this: how do pastors like us who remain focused on the mission of Jesus and serving our communities without being distracted by everything in the world around us, how do we increase our effectiveness while living a lifestyle that doesn't compromise our health, our families, or our personal relationships with Jesus? That's the question this podcast is going to answer. I'm Dr. Brandon Partycooper, and welcome to the Ministry Hackers Podcast. Welcome, everyone, to this episode. I hope you're doing well. If you don't know, or if you're new to the Ministry Hackers Podcast, my name is Dr. Brandon Partycooper. I'm the founder here at Ministry Hackers, and I am super excited. And you want to know why? Because yesterday we launched our very first challenge here at Ministry Hackers, and it was great. We had lots of fun. Dr. Jason Baca and myself did a great job in the live event, just trying to help pastors skyrocket their pastoral staff's productivity. It was lots of fun engaging and getting into the material. And finally, after several weeks of ramping up and getting ready and working hard, getting into the launch of the challenge. And so now for you here in this podcast, you are still able to jump in. We have the replay for yesterday. We're getting ready to go live later today. And so I want to invite you to still jump in. If you are a lead pastor and you want to be able to know that you are pastoring a growing church and have more time with your family and not feel this overwhelming tension between those two things, I want you to go to ministryhackers.com/challenge and sign up. Again, even though we've started the challenge, you can still jump into it. We have the replay ready for you to catch right up and then get ready for today's episode or today's live event. That'll be later on today. So go to ministryhackers.com/challenge. It's free. Jump on in, join us, be a part of the challenge. It's going to be lots of fun today. And so I don't want you to miss out. All right. And so go to ministryhackers.com/challenge. It's free. We're going live at 1 o'clock central. And so make sure you sign up before then. And so you're ready to go and join myself and Dr. Jason Baca. So why don't we invite Dr. Jason in to join us here on this episode of the podcast. How's it going?
Speaking Jason? Of whom, Dr. Jason Baca in the house.
The
Dr. J.
Entrance.
Yeah. How are you, man?
Good, man. It's a good day. Having lots of fun. Yeah. Yesterday went well. I'm excited about today.
Yeah.
Excited to have this, you know, have this episode and get this going. And so, yeah, doing good.
Yeah, man. We've been spending a lot of time together lately. Between all the podcasting, all of the prep for the challenge, now we're podcasting while running a challenge. It's been fun, man. Thank you again for having me on these podcasts. This has been really, really good.
Yeah. Hey, man, it would not be possible without your help. And so I appreciate it so much. And it's, you know, especially, you know, looking at you, you know, all the work you did in the book, Mastering Motivation, and, you know, what you're bringing to the table with the challenge, like, it's taken so much off of my, and you know, everything is on my plate. And so to know, like, I have you in my corner walking me through this and, you know, serving the Ministry Hacker community, like, you know, I couldn't be happier. So thank you just for being a part with me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. And hey, for those of you out there who are on the fence about this whole challenge thing, number one, it's free. So like it doesn't cost you anything. And number two, it's not too late. If you're one of those people who, you know, work better under pressure, then you're in the perfect spot. We just started yesterday. So today we're going live again today, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So just go to ministryhackers.com/challenge. All of the replays will stay up throughout the challenge for the content of the challenge. So you can catch up at any time. So ministryhackers.com/challenge. Come join us. It's not too late.
Yeah. Be a part.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we're kind of going against the grain a little bit because, you know, in the conversation of productivity and, you know, most of us, you know, as lead pastors and ministry leaders and all that, like, we all have just mountains of things to do, like our to-do list. Like, most of us have abandoned the to-do list because it was so long. It just, there was no point in keeping it up. And so you know, the idea and, you know, kind of the productivity gurus out there, you know, they have all these systems and ways of approaching how to get stuff done. But never that I can think of have I heard somebody say, you know, you just need to procrastinate in order to get more done.
Yeah. But
that's exactly what we're going to say today. Today, we're going to say you need to become a master procrastinator in order to become highly productive. So we're going against the grain a little bit, right?
Yeah. The, you know, it's funny like to think like, you know, when you see a pastor who's like overwhelmed and, you know, for those of you out there, you probably feel it. We've all felt it that it's like, you know what your problem is? You know what the answer is to all of this stress and overwhelm and this burden you feel is you need to procrastinate more. Like, you know, nobody, it's very counterintuitive, but we're about to unpack for you exactly why procrastination is the key to productivity. Right. And it's when you don't procrastinate with purpose and intentionality, when you don't procrastinate is when you get piled on and things just never seem to go away. They never seem to get done. And so I'm excited to jump in. You know, full disclaimer, this is not like original content that Brandon and I have created. we're pulling this from a very popular book called Procrastinate on Purpose, which has been like crazy transformational for me. The first time I heard Rory is the name of the author of the book. Also did a TED talk that I watched. When I first heard him unpack all this in the TED talk, it just like blew my mind. I'd never really thought of anything like this before. And I was just like, and yet it just makes so much sense. So I'm hoping that it'll do the same for you guys and that it will literally just like alleviate tons of stress and overwhelm and burden when you start doing these five things.
Right. And yeah, like you said, Rory Vaden is kind of the brainchild of this whole thing. And we're not going to, you know, if you want to get deep into this, get the book, watch the TED talk. They are great. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is we're just going to really simply walk you through the five steps. And so, what he calls it the focus funnel. So imagine a funnel and we're walking, you know, putting all of our tasks in the top of the funnel, we're working our way down. And so the first layer, so you throw your tasks in and the first layer you come to is, you know, is there anything you can eliminate? And this is hard for us because we always feel like everything is important, but the reality is like everything may be important, but not everything is worth our time.
Right.
And so are there things that, you know, especially I've talked about it before, you know, are there maintenance things that are on your to-do list that if you didn't maintain whatever it is, would anybody even notice? Would it make a bit of difference? And so are there things on your task list that you can eliminate? Just say, you know what? And maybe you just test it. Maybe just eliminate it for a week or 2 weeks and see if anybody notices or if there's any fallout. Because I guarantee you there are things on your to-do list in that big, long list you have that you've already kind of eliminated in your own mind. They're just sitting on the list. Mm-hmm. Just cross them off and throw them aside and eliminate them from your to-do list.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, this is why it's the best place to start because the best way to get rid of stuff is just get rid of it, right? Yeah. Before we step into the other steps. But this first step, eliminate stuff that you don't need to be doing, reminds me a lot of, or it's connected for me for in the Pareto's principle, the 80-20 rule, is the whole idea of like, you know, 20% is affecting the 80% or 80% of the outcome is because of 20% of the input, right? So that's Pareto's principle. You probably know it as the 80-20 rule. That in eliminating things, like Brandon said, like there's a lot of stuff that's on your to-do list that honestly you don't need to do. And then of course you ask the question, would anybody even notice if this was gone or if I wasn't maintaining this? But then an even harder look at this elimination step is what are the like 80% of the stuff that I do that's really not having a big impact? So it's not that it has no impact, but you know, just given like my limited finite time and resource, like, is this something that really needs to be a priority that I need to be doing? Or can I maybe at least for a season strike this off the list? And even though it is making somewhat of an impact, that's not like the core 20% that's really producing 80% of the results. And so, yeah, not only, you know, is this a big waste of my time, but even just a harder look at, is this really creating a significant result or outcome, or could I afford for a little while to strike this off the list?
Right, exactly. So then that moves us into the second step, and that's automate. Now, the interesting thing about this one is that if you roll back 10 or 15 years ago, this wasn't really even an option. Right. But now, like, automating things has become almost, you know, commonplace. And so think about repetitive tasks that keep coming up, things that, mm-hmm. you know, you do every week or every month. Is that something that could be automated and you don't even have to think about it? It's done for you. Mm-hmm. You know, things like, you know, paying your bills or, you know, right. managing your subscriptions or whatever. There's so many things that you can automate that you don't have to worry about. And maybe you put a reminder, you know, to, you know, double check that subscription and make sure that you really want to keep it before it, you know, renews or whatever. And there's lots of great tools. And so, you know, the two that came to mind immediately were Zapier. And then the other one is If This Then That. And what those are, both of those programs are set up to where you tell it, hey, if this happens, then this needs to happen. You know, so, you know, and there's so many different programs that work with those. And so just starting to look at, okay, are there things that I'm putting my time and attention into that I could automate and not have to think about, not have to do the maintenance of it, not have to worry about it, just does it on its own and everything goes where it needs to be. Everything happens the way it needs to, especially in church. Like, you know, I know for many of our listeners, they use Planning Center. Well, Planning Center has a lot of automation options in there. So when something happens, it will trigger emails or it'll trigger, you know, moving someone from, you know, one step to the next step or whatever that is, you know. So even like if you're automating your welcome sequence. And so a new person comes in on Sunday and, you know, they, you know, their information gets to the office on Monday, that name's put in and you, you know, enter them into the database. You can have that sequence just run for the next 2 or 3 weeks if you want, sending them email every couple of days, inviting them back to church or telling them about the, you know, the ministries that there's just a lot of options out there. It takes a little bit of work on the upfront to set it up. But once it's set up, you gain all of that time back every day.
It's a dream, man. I would even throw into the automation. This isn't technically automating, but throw in just with the spirit of doing some work up front that's just going to save you tons of time in the end, is like if you find yourself sending the same types of emails out over and over and over, like certain questions that you're getting or certain issues or whatever, if you know you're getting a lot of requests to like grab coffee or whatever, and you're always saying the same thing to these people anyway, to just script it out and save these templates in your email, whether you use Gmail or whatever your church uses, whatever email suite that you use. Yeah. But I know a lot of people who have those kind of repetitious conversations via email, they just create templates. I used to do this where, especially when I was with volunteers, because there was the time where I was just oversaw like all the volunteers, like all the emails are pretty much the same. And so I would just create templates. So when somebody messages me about a certain thing, I literally just plug in the template, like put their name at the top. I might have to change like one little line of text that makes it like more customized to the situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I hit send and it's like, it's exactly it didn't feel like a carbon copy, but it is everything I would have said anyway. So yeah, it's not technically automated, but anything that you can do in number two here is like to save yourself work moving forward. It's going to be worth it. So number one, strike anything off the list that you can. Number two, automate whatever you can with, especially like you said, with technology these days. And then number three, walk us through this, Brandon, delegate. So the idea being a computer can't do it. So a person has to do that, but it doesn't need to be you, the lead pastor.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So again, like we've eliminated what we can, we've automated what we can. And now we're at the point where, okay, some human needs to put their eyes on whatever this task is. And so, and delegating, quite honestly, for me, maybe next to automating these are my two favorites, automating and delegating, because at the end of the day, they get them off of my plate. They get them, you know, away from my to-do list and onto somebody else's. And this plays right into the challenge we're in right now, because you want to delegate, but the problem is for a lot of you who are lead pastors, you don't really feel like you can delegate to your pastoral staff, which is why you're fought in this tension between having a growing church and, you know, spending time with your family, is because you don't feel like your pastoral staff is at a place where you can delegate a lot to them. Mm-hmm. But honestly, this is where you need to get to, is delegating out. So if there's something that, you know, you can hand off to someone else, and maybe it's not your pastoral staff member, maybe it's volunteers. Like, I think as lead pastors, especially for those of you who are church planters, you have a tendency to get deep into the details of things that you really have no reason to, not because you don't have an opinion about them and not because, you know, you can't even do it better than somebody else, but it's because as the lead pastor, there are certain things you need to have eyes on because nobody else can.
Right.
And if you're spending time doing things that other people could do for you, then that means you're taking time away from the things that only you can do.
Right.
And so if anything you can delegate out, do it. Now, this isn't a promotion to be lazy. This is a management of your time and make it more valuable and choose the things that you have to do and nobody else can do. Delegate out the rest.
Man, I feel like you hit on something there that I think is a common misconception that I see not only in churches, but even in the workplace, is like in an effort to be efficient by eliminating things, automating things, and delegating things that I don't need to be personally doing. Sometimes there's like this perception or this misconception that that's somehow like deflecting work, or you just want everybody else to do the work, or like you use the word lazy. When in reality, it's like there's a huge difference between being efficient and being lazy. Yeah. And like you said, it's so that I can get the stuff off my plate so that I can focus on the stuff that only I can do, which actually walks us perfectly into the next step, right? So number four on the list is procrastinate. So that is where that is where you can't, it can't be eliminated, it can't be automated, and it can't be delegated. It's something you, lead pastor or pastor, ministry leader, are going to have to do, but you should, if you can, procrastinate it.
Yes.
Which sounds really weird. So Brandon, walk us through that. What is that? What does that mean exactly?
So again, imagine that we're in a funnel. So again, Rory Vaden's focus funnel. We started at the top with eliminate. We're moving down the funnel. Well, when we get to the bottom of the funnel, we have two options. The task that's in front of us at this point is it's either something that I have to do now, has to be done, I have no choice, or it's something that it needs done, but it may not need to be done right now. And so what Vaden says is to take that task and procrastinate it back up to the top of the funnel. So don't put your time and attention into it now. Don't worry about it now because it's not something that needs to be done now. Mm-hmm. So procrastinate it off. And really what you'll find is that if it's something that can wait and you procrastinate it, it usually can go through the funnel about three or four times and you keep procrastinate. And then eventually you realize this just needs to be eliminated. It's not something that's dire. It's not something I have to do. And so when you start doing that, when you procrastinate on purpose, you actually find there are things on your plate and on your task list that they just don't need to be done. Or there's an automation that pops up somewhere that you can then automate it, or you find somebody on your staff or your volunteers that you can delegate it out to. The goal here, again, is to only focus on the things that you have to. Because especially as a lead pastor, you should have a pastoral staff, a highly productive pastoral staff. You should have volunteers that you can delegate things out to. There should be automation tools that you can use because there are a handful of things that only you can do. And if you're not putting your attention to those, then everything else is going to start to fall apart. So yeah. So Vaden says, this is where you really want to be purposeful about procrastinating and just sending it back to the top of the funnel.
And what this does is it allows you to stay focused because we all know like exactly what it's like. You're right in the flow, like you're getting stuff done. You're able to focus. And then what? Knock, 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 knock. Hey, pastor, you know, and it's somebody's bringing something to you that they want you to do that only you can do. Right. So you may send it to the top of the funnel and say, well, do I even need to do this? Can I automate this? Can I delegate this? Then you realize, this thing this person's bringing to me, I do need to do it. But that's when it's like, okay, but do I need to do that right now? You know, even more harshly speaking, like, do you need to be talking to me about this right now? You
know, we really need to have this conversation.
it's like right now the moment we have to talk about this because I was actually like in a flow getting stuff done. And so that's the beauty of procrastination is you're not putting it off. You're not putting off things that you do need to get done right now. You're putting off things that you don't need to get done right now so that you have the clarity and the space to get done the things that you do need to do right now, which takes us, of course, all the way to the bottom of the funnel. Eliminate, automate, delegate, procrastinate. And now it's something that only you can do, needs to get done, and it needs to get done right now. And so you need to concentrate and focus on getting it done after it's all been filtered down. So what are your keys to success, Brandon, on being able to focus and concentrate and knock this stuff out?
Yeah. So when you're at this point, and you are, you know, you've chosen, you've said, okay, like this task can't be procrastinated. It has to be done. Well, because you've essentially whittled down your task list, you're now able to really focus and concentrate. And so maybe this is your, you know, maybe this is your prep for Sunday morning, or maybe this is, you know, a vision cast session that you're getting ready to do with your congregation, or, you know, maybe it's, you know, spending time with a staff member to train them in something. Like, this is stuff only you can do. And because you've eliminated and automated and delegated most of your task list out, now you can really concentrate. And honestly, especially as lead pastors, this is where you are in your sweet spot. You're doing the things you love to do. You're doing the things that you're good at, and you do them at a very high level. These are the things that don't necessarily, you know, they're not draining and they're not hard, because these are the places where you operate the best. And honestly, when you're able to concentrate and do the things that you naturally do well and do the things that you enjoy, your stress level goes down, your energy goes up, everybody on staff is happier because you're happier. Like, it's just the effects of this are ripple all the way out to the very last pew in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Because you're able to concentrate and do the things that you have to do and only you can do, and they get done and they have impact across the board.
And your quality of work goes way up on those things because you're actually able to focus on them. So, right. You know, your sermon prep and everything is just so much more robust and in depth, or whatever it is that you only you can do that you have to do. It's just the quality so much better because you're not trying to do that thing distracted by 100 things, right? You literally just like whittle it all down, like, this is the thing. And so you can focus your time and energy. I don't know about you, man, but like, to me, getting down to the bottom of the funnel, even just now talking about it, just feels like just such a stress relief.
Yeah, you feel this like relief.
You feel it like when you're at the top of the funnel and you just got this huge to-do list with all these distractions, all this stuff flying at you. And then you start to strike some stuff off. It's like, okay, that feels good. And then you start to automate things, and things are just happening automatically through technology. And you're like, oh, that's nice. And then you start to delegate and just like give these tasks and responsibilities you don't need to be doing to other people. It's like, oh wow, that's a huge load off. And then you're whittled down your list to just this. And you think, well, you know, at least half this stuff I don't really need to do right now. So you just push that aside. By the time you get down to this little list, it's like, oh, this is all I need to do today? Like, it just, right. it feels like such a load off. And sometimes, who knows, you might be able to crank that out before lunch. Like, if you really are in an environment. Yeah. And it's like, it's lunchtime, you go out to lunch, you come back, you're like, man, this is great. This is amazing. I could get to some stuff that I procrastinated, or I could just go home, you know, like,
you know. Or the other thing, and this is what a lot of pastors are unable to do, because a lot of pastors, especially the pastors that have a huge to-do list and lots of things on their plate, what they do is they're looking down at the next thing right in front of them, and the next thing, and the next thing, the next thing. And when you put this funnel into action, like you said, you feel this relief and you get your two or three or four things done that you really needed to get done that day. Mm-hmm. And you get to the other side and you're like, I have all this extra time. Like, I can lift my head and I can look out on the horizon and I can see 5 years, 10 years. I can see next year's sermons. Like, I can see all those things. And quite honestly, when we get into that headspace and away from the stress of looking at the next task, that's when God really can speak to us. That's when we hear him best, because we don't have all the stress piled on us. Like, the benefits of this funnel are, like, you can't even really tap into it, because like you said, just talking through it, you feel the relief. You're like, oh man, that feels so good.
Right. Yeah.
Have my task list taken care of.
Yeah. It's amazing. And like you said, it allows you to like pick your head up and look forward, you know, and start thinking about these big picture things that, you know, Brandon and I have continued to argue over and over that only you can do. Like, one of the big things, like, create culture. Like, imagine you crank out your work before lunch, you come back from lunch, you got a few hours before you still probably can take off early, 3:30, and go home, you know, be with your kids or whatever when they get off school. But from now till 3:30, you can sit and just take like a genuine inventory of the culture of your church or of staff, or, you know, make your way around the office, start pouring into other people. Like, you can start doing things at such a higher level, completely stress-free, that really only you can do, that otherwise, had you not worked this funnel into your life, you never would have time for any of that, because you're constantly just like a hamster on a wheel, just running, 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 running. And man, when you implement the system, things are just happening. Things are moving. There's no unnecessary wasted time on things that could have been eliminated. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to live your life. And yeah, I've done this in my life, and there had literally been days where I came to work just because that's my routine. And like, I literally have nothing to do. Like that's, you know, and I find things to do, but like, as far as to-do lists and pressure and, you know, like they don't happen a ton, but when they do, it's amazing. Like I literally show up on a Thursday and I literally have nothing to do because, you know, like we don't do anything as a church and we're not working hard. No, because we implemented these types of systems and it's all done already.
It's done.
Like, I love it. Yeah, it's great. So I'm living proof and testimony that this works. And I'm telling you, I used to live my life the other way. And it's just, it's no good. It's no fun. Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's too stressful.
Any
too
final thoughts?
Yeah, again, I just think as a lead pastor, I think we run into this, you know, this mindset that we have to work and work and work and work and do and do and do and do. And really, honestly, what we should be doing more than anything is leading our people. Mm. Leading, you know, taking God's vision for the church and getting people behind that vision and leading the people forward into relationship with Christ. And so, you know, the more you can put this funnel into action, the more you can eliminate things off your task list, whether it's eliminating them, automating them, or delegating them out, the more you can do that, the more you can get to the core of who you're supposed to be as a, you know, as a lead pastor. And that is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And empowering them and, you know, discipling them in the ways that God intended us to do. I think ministry can be overwhelming because of all the to-dos that we create in order to keep our churches running. And the more you as a lead pastor can put yourself in the headspace of, you know, I'm focused on just the things that I have to do, then you work a lot better, your quality is a lot higher, your fulfillment and your satisfaction and that tension between home and work and growing a church and being with your family, like all of that starts to melt away.
Yeah,
because you don't have this endless task list of things to do that's constantly in the back of your mind pecking at you, saying, hey, go do this, go do this, go do this.
Glorious. I can tell you, I can tell you like firsthand, this is not like bragging. I'm just telling you this works. Like I do not live my life under the pressure of an endless task list. I have stuff to do and I get it done. It's not always stuff I want to do. But because of this and simplifying your life, like in this way, like I don't live under the weight of all of that anymore. I used to for years and years and years. And like you said, Brandon, it's just very common in ministry in general. I used to live like that, like burnt out, stressed out, hamster on a wheel, like put clocking in literally up to, I think 82 hours was 1 hour or 1 week that I put in. It was around like Easter weekend. We did like baptisms and stuff. 82 hours. That's typically two people's weeks, like in 1 week. And so like anywhere from that 60 to 80 range, like I don't do that anymore because I don't need to because of this. So
it's not healthy.
Yeah. And you can't survive. There's no longevity in it. And to be honest with you, you know, there's no joy in it. Like, yes, we're doing this for Jesus. And yes, this is for the kingdom of God. And yes, of course, at some point, there's going to be sacrifice needed, right, for the kingdom and pursuing God's calling. But but you shouldn't be sacrificing for things that are completely irrelevant, that could be eliminated. Right. Like spending your time and energy doing things that you literally could pay $9.99 a month to have a computer program do that for you. Like, you know, or delegating to other people who are more qualified than you to do that or have more time than you. So yeah, working the funnel is just like a huge relief. And you actually, I really believe you'll start to really enjoy doing ministry and doing your job in ministry a ton more when you start to work this into your life.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so we are one day into the challenge and this kind of fits right into it because as we talked about, you want to have a pastoral staff that you can delegate things to. In order to make this funnel work, you have to have a pastoral staff you can delegate things to. Now, in order to do that, you have to have a highly productive staff that understands how to get some stuff done.
Right.
And so what we're doing in this challenge, we started yesterday. We're going to go live later today. And you can still join it. Go to ministryhackers.com/challenge and learn how to skyrocket your pastoral staff's productivity. And it's not just to increase productivity, although that's wonderful in itself, as we just got done talking about. but it's primarily so that you as the lead pastor can know you're pastoring a growing church and you're having time with your family that you want. That there's always going to be that tension. But I think for most of us as lead pastors, that tension is way higher than it should be. Mm. And our goal, Jason and I, this week in the challenge, our whole goal is to show you particularly how to use a StrengthsFinder assessment, how you can increase or skyrocket your pastoral staff's productivity so that you don't have to fight that tension so much. And you can still pastor a growing church and be with your family. You can do both. And we're going to show you exactly how in the days ahead. So you didn't miss yesterday because you can still watch the replay. You can jump in before we start today. MinistryHackers.com/challenge and join us and be a part of it. Okay. So Jason, tomorrow,
yeah,
you are actually going to fly solo. So I'm going to step out. I'm going to go take a nap or something. You're going to run things tomorrow. So tell us exactly what you're going to dive into tomorrow.
Yeah. So tomorrow's content you don't want to miss because I'm going to show you, like, statistically, research studies, and even biblically, how showing certain staff members, certain people within your ministry, special treatment is actually the key to success in running a successful ministry and a growing church.
How you showing, have to treat everybody fair?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair, but it's special treatment and how it's only for certain people, though. And that's what feels weird, but I'm going to unpack all this for you tomorrow. It's only for certain people. It's a special treatment that they get that you don't give to anybody else. And how doing that over and over and over is actually the key to success in being able to keep with the up with the growth of your growing ministry.
Awesome. Well,
yeah,
I'm excited. I'm going to tune in and watch.
See what happens? You've delegated to me. Now you don't have to do it.
There you go. Awesome.
There it is. Well,
wonderful, guys. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day. Again, ministryhackers.com/challenge. Jump into the challenge before we go live here in a little bit. And we will see you in the next episode.
All right. See you guys later.